Welcome, everyone. It's the wrestling show, as usual, on a Tuesday. I'm Kev Manning from the Lingus Mafia, and along with, as usual, Mr. Billy Body.
Yeah, it's rough getting up at 12.
Would you actually be sleeping still?
Because
you do stay up to watch Raw. I mean, you're in England with, England time is a little different.
I stopped staying up to watch Raw. I still need to watch Raw properly because I'm betting at the moment on the MLS, this mini MLS tournament they've got going on. So I was keeping an eye on both things, but I've seen a large majority of Raw in it and I'm able to do this. But also there's SmackDown too. So yeah, I mean, I'm going to rewatch Raw now, but I've been up since 6. So this actually is early for me in terms of sleep hours.
Yeah, I mean, I actually was surprised by Raw because it wasn't horrible. I really think they do themselves a disservice by 3 hours. I think the 3 hour thing really changes shit because I still feel like SmackDown is the better show. And I don't even know if it is like truly better or if it's more digestible because it's only 2 hours long. And like, I don't know, I feel that they have more story and things like that, even though this last Raw I actually didn't think was bad. I wasn't thrilled with the stipulation that Drew picked. I kind of was like, you know, I was less enthusiastic about it. But then, like, as it went on, I was like, well, it's not bad because it was a good match and they're beating the piss out of each other. But I was, when he first said it, I was like, who gives a fuck, you know? But then again, I thought this was for the championship too. When did that stop?
I don't know why they even bothered changing it, because he only do that if you're gonna have the contender win or something.
And that's what I thought too. I said, maybe he actually wins Ziggler because it wasn't for the title. Because I thought last week the whole point was I almost did it. I want one more chance. So he got his chance. Well, why do you need a chance if it's not for the belt? Who gives a shit? Oh, great. I won now for no title. And then they were doing the whole overlooking him to get to SummerSlam. Oh, it's the title's up on the line at SummerSlam. And I was like, is Dolph going to come out and say, well, I'm going to win the title right now? But apparently, it wasn't for the title.
No. He literally asked for a title match last year. He asked for one more chance. He said, I came this close to winning the WWE Championship. I want another shot. At what? Like, another shot at the champion without the belt. Like, that wasn't specified at all.
Yeah.
It's really fucking... No reason. I don't know what that was. That's some like weird internal shit where somebody's overthought themselves and thought, oh, we can't give away title matches to guys that didn't win or haven't won a match in ages. It's like, but you gave him a title shot in the first place. It makes no difference if you give him a rematch now. Like, there's no point being consistent after you've already done it wrong.
Yeah, I mean, so I wasn't crazy that it was a title match last week.
It was a title match last week in terms of how they said it was going to be. Like, was Dolph literally asked for another shot?
We also had some good stuff, like the women's title match, which I always praise Sasha, other than being rapeable. I think she does a good job and stuff like that. But I did not know what to think because... Like, well, it was different. We've never seen it before where it was like she wins and she's dead in the ring, you know. It's like that's how she won. And it was like, oh, okay, Asuka's going to be Miss Good Guy. She leaves to go help her friend instead of win the title. When it was, she could have pinned her for 3 seconds and then went and go fucking got her friend. But I like the storyline that they have all the fucking belts, even though I don't think Bayley's a very good bad guy.
No, she's very...
It's like she's trying to be a bad guy too hard.
Yeah, she's very much like a generic bad guy. Or she's trying to be... She's trying to do like the honky-tonk man thing.
Oh yeah, the where she's out there, it's constantly with the obnoxiousness, and I guess that's the whole. See, I'm obnoxious and I'm a bad guy, and it's like, well, I don't know. It doesn't come off fully, and also
it is that. It's exactly that. It's like a bad pirate. It's like, I'm a pirate.
it's too over the top. Yeah. We also had Nia Jax, who ate her way out of quarantine.
You're the fattest COVID patient ever.
I mean, she fucking got big. Her.
I don't understand this woman, because she constantly posts photos of what she used to look like before. Right? In terms of, hey, I used to be thin. But it's like, now you have a job where you have to... This isn't a job where you can now get fat. You know how like some people have the job like where it's like, oh, I'm going to work at a desk for the rest of my life. I can eat junk food. It's like, this would be the opposite way. You need to be in the shape that you were in your absolute peak so you can move around. I feel like she's stealing from them by... maybe they want her bigger, but I don't think they want her bigger to the extent... She's going to be bigger anyway. She's got them big bones. Like, even those photos that she sent out where she likes to think she was beautiful, she was still bigger. So the gimmick will still work in terms of her being more bigger and powerful than these girls, because she's taller too. But I don't think they need her to be obese. I don't think they need it to be like Bertha Faye.
Yeah,
her gimmick is not... It's not Bertha Faye 2, is it? Like, otherwise they'd have her in storylines. They're not got any sensitivity, so they would use her in storylines where an attractive man was like falls in love with the ugly girl. She's never been put in that role.
They would do that. Yeah, they don't care. They say be a star, but they're just as horrible. They got no problem making fun of someone's weight. Remember when we had Caitlyn over there and she was a little chubby and they really fucking dug at her?
Well, it's Piggy James as well.
There you go, Piggy James. Jesus Christ. And I think that was more painful because it was real life. I mean, they had a little bit of fat going on, but it wasn't like... It was enough for them to be very self-conscious about it. And it was like, let's point it out. So Kairi Sane is done now, right? This is her... She's gone away.
Yeah, this is her last taping, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. It's funny. Asuka comes out, like, they're like, how is the medical training room, you know, and all that. And she's all... The look on her face, I said out loud, I go, she's dead. Kairi died. Fucking Bayley killed her. So what's going to be... What do they say? That she just got beat into oblivion and she had to leave because it was such a brutal beating?
What's the story here? Like, Oscar goes for the SmackDown belt.
Oh, fuck. You know what? You're right. I didn't even think about that. And I guess that could be what pisses Bayley off. Like, I fucking helped you get the belt. And now I get fucked because now she took away my belt. But you have a fucking title?
They're not rushing into Sasha and Bayley at SummerSlam, are they?
No, and I'm glad. They don't need to be rushing. They rush enough. They could let this thing sit for fucking hell. It should go until next Mania at this point.
It's going to have to go to Rumble. Until people can actually get there.
Yeah, so there's no... Well, that's a hard one to do, because who the hell knows when that's going to be?
Well, I don't know what's going on with SummerSlam. There's loads of stuff out about... Obviously, my beach story is still rumored. I mean, that's never left. And then, sorry, I'm trying to get these sweets. The story about the beach, and then the story about the boat I heard this week.
Oh, on a boat?
Yeah, but not actually from anyone reliable, like any of the wrestlers or any of the guys I talked to.
Jeez, I haven't heard that one, on a fucking boat. Now, Dominic showing up. That was interesting because now Aleister Black's going to have no eye.
What is it with his eye gimmick?
I was surprised. I was like, I don't know whether to think this is good or bad, because the only reason I haven't jumped to saying this is shit right away is because it's not a rush. And that's what I'm most shocked about all these storylines, that they're not, okay, next, you know, oh, he did the eye thing. Okay, he's done with it. They're continuing shit. And it's like, all right, give me that slow shit. I'll almost take a bad storyline if it's slow.
But this storyline, I mean, after when you're getting so much stuff which is unresolved and makes no sense, it's just match, and they decide we're going to commit to two stories here. We're going to commit to Sasha and Bayley and building it up slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been going on since before WrestleMania. So that's probably almost at this point the main story in the company, or at least the longest running. And then the other one, the number two story they're going to do, is Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio and various other people are going to feud over trying to take each other's eyes out. That is so stupid. Like that would be the kind of thing where when you heard it pitched at the table, you wouldn't even think that it was pitchable, because you would feel like, okay, this is my one shot to say something, you know, because you always picture the whole writing table as being this atmosphere where everybody's scared and hesitant to speak up. That's what you hear anyway, because Vince shoots down so many good ideas. But this was perceived as a good idea that they decided to run with. So it makes you wonder what people are keeping to themselves, because you always hear about that. And that's the thing. Obviously, somebody decided to speak up with this, whereas various other ideas are being shot down. What is being shot down that's worse than this?
Yeah, that's a good thing. And they, from what we hear, is constantly things are being like we've shit on the writers, but then we hear from the inside that they have some really good ideas that they put in, and it's just everything's just no good. I can't imagine the level of frustration.
Right, and that's the thing, Liz. Even in terms of when you're looking at somebody who has creative input such as Bray. Oh, by the way, you see, everybody stole my story this week because I was on Russo's show and was saying about how three guys had creative control, Brock, Brian, and Edge, and everybody reported it as, what did they say? The lot? Oh, we have heard, or it's been reported, and all this kind of shit. I mean, that was like a real like fucking exclusive in terms of I've never heard it before, and I don't think anybody knew about it except me. And that actually came to me from like a wrestler as well, through around, not like a marketing guy or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And then they decided to report that. It really fucking pissed me off. But I mean, to a lesser extent, you know, Bray doesn't have it contractually. He obviously has say over his stuff, where he does his Firefly Funhouse and Swamp Fights, mm-hmm, and all that. I kind of feel like even he's given up in terms of making him understand what his character is. And now I think he's almost resorted to making these quirky pictures of understanding who you're going to. Because it's like, I think he understands that, okay, they're never going to fully understand what I'm trying to do. They're never going to understand the story. They're never going to understand all the like cabal, Illuminati, like underground references that, mm-hmm, he puts in. So he's just going to go, let's just fucking pitch this swamp fight and all these like symbolism in within the swamp fight. And I just think there's guys around him that he sneaks some stuff in because people just don't understand it. So within the confines of that, everybody just thinks Bray is pitching this nonsensical, quirky shit that the fans just like because his t-shirts sell.
Mm-hmm.
That's how stupid I think they are. I think they just go, oh, Bray is crazy and quirky and people love his shit. It sells. So that's selling shit that sells is good. It's good shit. So I think they just blindly just go ahead with it. And I think he also doesn't now pitch things to the level where he wants them to make as much sense. I think he is defeated and just saying, fuck it. I will get paid. I'll just continue to get paid as much as I possibly can. And sneak in as much as I possibly can. But even that stuff doesn't make any sense.
Well, now they're going back to the Fiend being around after the whole swamp fight.
But Braun Strowman died, Cav.
He's with Kari Sane. What are you talking
about? They should have started SmackDown with a 10-bell salute.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to say. Here's my guess is that Braun says, I had to go away for a while. My head was so messed up. I needed to get away after that match. And like refocus. That's I don't know what the hell else they could say.
No, I mean, who rescued him out of the water? I mean, did the Fiend pull him out just before he had his last breath because he wants to win the championship from him?
If he says, "Oh, I woke up on the banks of the shore," you know, and didn't know what happened, or did he wake up in his bed? Like, did that really happen? He was in his bed. He doesn't know what to think. Where they cross into fantasy land.
I may as well fucking say that Shad Gaspar's ghost was still in the water.
It rescued him.
Yeah.
I saw a guy in a fucking wife beater in Timberlands. He came over to me and helped me out. Speaking of SmackDown, I know one thing you're probably thrilled about is Big E getting a push.
It's better than having...
I like this.
It's better than having all of them on TV. But I still think he's going to be annoying. I think because he's going to stay within this...
I hope he doesn't. Don't stay. Don't stay with that shit. Because he's got to get out there and... But, God, he's got to still show his personality. Because he's a funny fucking guy and fucking around. He's like a fuck around guy, you know? But when you're that big, you have to be a fucking... A beast at times, you know? And I'm like, what is this? Fucking Kofi has to go away for 6 weeks, so is he just on vacation? Is this what this is? And they say, well, we need to push Big E, so let's just make Kofi go away for a little bit.
I mean, this is the problem with him, because in order for him to be serious, he would have had to come out of this group as the heel. He would have had to be the one who got sick of the New Day shit and being left behind and gone serious again. I don't even think that going back to that five gimmick and stuff was entirely bad, because that five gimmick, mm-hmm. Don't forget, this is an NXT champion who beat Rollins for the belt, which people do forget because they've made you forget.
Yeah.
They've almost like defocused on his greatest singles achievements. And even back then, they were bringing NXT guys in wrong. So they like just paired him up with Ziggler and AJ and to be the muscle and whatnot. And then he ended up turning babyface on them. But I think that he does need to go back to being a more serious character, because you can't, and they will, and I predict this, and you'll see it next week. They're going to be like people at home, don't you dare be sour, him doing it by himself and coming out to the New Day music and being Big E singles guy of the New Day, like they did with Kofi, which is why Kofi's reign was trash. Because the 9-year-old or 8-year-old at the time was saying to me, Kofi's a terrible champion. They haven't even given him new music.
Yeah,
I mean, that was the analysis of someone who's 8, and it did make sense because they never pulled him away from the New Day. It was like the New Day were collectively holding the belt. And now it will be this in terms of Big E is challenging for, I don't know, the US title, and all the New Day are backstage giving him pep talks about and messing around with pancakes and fucking dildos and shit. Like, it's fucking terrible. Like, just move away from it now. Stop. Like, if this is going to be a real singles run, which I don't think it is, I think it's going to be just something to do while he's on TV, while the others are off. But if it was real, then he'd have to break away properly. He's got to be the guy that turns heel out of this group to sort of cleanse this, oh Jesus, like 7 years of like messing about.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's probably made a load of money off it, and he's like obviously made him an established character. And when he had to do this little run to turn heel, but 7 years, I mean, bearing in mind most people will be around like 15, maybe. That's half his career he's done doing this. And now only the second half of his career, if he does go single, will be relatively decent. But that's not even to say that he's guaranteed a push, because we don't even know how like good he is. Like, if he turns heel, like, he might be trash. We don't know if he'll be able to like do this seriously.
I tweeted him this week and said, you need to have the 3 Ain't Enough music. I mean, obviously they have no fucking crowd, but the crowd they have, I think, would pop. if that hit and he fucking came out and was a little more. And he could still be Mr. Good Guy, but he doesn't need to, you know, shuck and jive down to the fucking ring. But I think they're going to keep his same fucking shit. I don't see them turning him bad. And if they did, it would be when the other two came back after the 6 weeks and he was a failure and didn't get shit right. And they're like, okay, let's go. And he's like, fuck you. You know, like, don't pity me. Oh, because I didn't get this and that. Now I have to go fucking be a tag guy again. Fuck you. That's the only way I see that one going. Shockingly, very shockingly, and I almost fucking fast-forwarded this because I watched SmackDown the next day, even though it's my better show that I watch out of the Raw and SmackDown. So that fucking four-way for the IC contender, I see these guys in the ring, and I go, all right, I'm fast-forwarding. I could give a fuck about all of them.
And I can't believe that. Yeah,
And I was shocked that it was how good. It was a fucking great match. I was like, fuck, that was a good fucking match. But that was the problem. I don't give a fuck about any of them. And like I really think Grand Metalik is going to fucking win the fucking IC title. You know? But it was a good match for what it is. It's a good match. But you just never think, okay, he has a shot at all.
Yeah, I don't understand what they're doing with that, because in terms of
something to do, I guess something to fucking middle before the next match.
But is AJ doing the fucking Cody thing in terms of, oh, he's just gonna defend it against everybody? Because he literally said, I'm not gonna do that, because he said Daniel Bryan was gonna do that, but he said, I'm not gonna be that champion. I'm not gonna give out shots to people that don't deserve it. But now he's doing it anyways.
Yeah, and he's halfway a bad guy. He's not. He's still does bad guy stuff, but he does a lot of good guy stuff.
I just made my nose bleed. I have no idea how.
You're eating fucking candy. That's.
How does that make your nose bleed? Does it?
No, I don't. Yeah, you didn't know if you eat too much candy. That's what they tell kids. Don't eat all this candy. Your nose will bleed.
Oh my god! It's fucking pouring out. What the fuck happened here?
You're it's not coming out of my. An Extreme Rules podcast.
It's not coming out of my brain or something.
Your brain is running. The Alexa Bliss losing to Nikki Cross thing. Any opinions on that?
Somebody's turning heel, and I can't work out who it is. That's what my take is. In Bruce's weird way, I think someone's turning heel.
I would guess it would have to be. What's her face? The fucking crazy one, Nikki.
Yeah, because I think that they're...
They want Alexa to be like a face of the company kind of thing.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I mean, I think Alexa Bliss is just far more useful as a heel, but the thing is people would just cheer her, but there's no people there anyway. So this is a period where you can do Alexa as a heel, and she's credible as well. But the thing is, there's no... Now, obviously, off the back of what's happened, there's no fucking heel champions.
Mm-hmm.
No babyface champions, sorry. There's all heel champions, yeah. So there'll be nothing for her to do if she turns.
Jesus Christ. Billy sending me his fucking tampon picture. Jesus Christ.
You seen that? That's fucking crazy. I don't even understand how it happened. Yeah, I'm sitting here.
Somebody stabbed you. I'm trying to think if there's anything other than the very last part. Oh, Naomi with the fucking Miz TV thing. I don't even know what to think of that Miz TV thing with Morrison. I get fucking annoyed. I'm like tired of it.
That's the thing. I don't get what people are seeing, because she's kind of like the female Kofi Kingston. Which is what she's always in terms of. She can do a few bits here and there, but she can't have a good match. I don't remember any match of hers that's been good. And people always say, even Russo said, he goes, oh, this girl is the most athletic girl and everything. Mm-hmm. So what? Like, she talks like fucking shit. She doesn't. I'm not interested in anything that she does. She hasn't put a good match together. She's not particularly attractive. Where you're thinking, oh Jesus, like do something with her, like Mandy Rose when Mandy Rose was being sitting out. And I don't even like what Mandy Rose is doing now.
No, it's time with the Mandy Rose thing. And I'm like, and they disappeared too. They had to announce that they'll be back next week, but they've completely just disappeared. And I'm like, which one is sick? What's going on?
No, it's Mandy Rose's on that that planned vacation.
Oh, she just has a vacation, so.
But it was only supposed to be 2 weeks, so I don't understand how she missed this taping too. Oh, she didn't, because this taping is over 2 weeks, so even though they promoted it last week, she would have been in the building when they promoted that.
Mm.
They just didn't use her last week.
That's odd. It's like, okay, come back to do nothing. Now sit here.
But the thing is, they're talking about her and Otis are coming back, but the main storyline she was in was Sonya, so that's maybe that's been dropped, because maybe Sonya's been dropped. Maybe Sonya, I don't know, I didn't hear about her having COVID or anything, because I know she was on that trip with them. But
yeah, they're on that boat.
Maybe she done herself a favor, because she could have been put into the fucking karaoke thing.
Oh my God. You imagine? Throw her into that. And Lacey Evans now with her bad guy stuff, which... I'm still going crazy from she turned bad from karaoke.
Yeah, she turned bad from karaoke after she had the fucking whole thing with her kid, and she wrestled a match in Saudi as well, which was less than a year ago, that women's match, and they were all like
first woman ever,
and she was like crying. She's going, oh, this means so much to my daughter, y'all, and all this shit. And it's like fucking now she's at fucking heel again off a karaoke
with thing. Their full body suits and t-shirt.
what do you think of Lacey?
I don't mind. I think she's good. I think she got a nice ass. I think she got great titties. She's good in the face. She's not like, you're not jumping up and down. But
why do you think she's so different to Charlotte?
Oh, her face is different to Charlotte. Charlotte's got a fucking dude-ish face, and she's more burly. Like, there's zero hips, and she's more manly altogether as Charlotte. I mean, it's the face is the most obvious, glaring part.
I disagree. I prefer Charlotte to Lacey Evans.
Nah, no way. We should have a fucking... Put up a poll on Dirty Sheets. Who do you prefer looks-wise, Lacey Evans or Charlotte?
Okay.
That'd be an interesting poll. Just have it for looks, because if you say who do you prefer, they're going to think, like, athleticism. Just looks. Just looks. All over package. We get Matt Riddle busy with... what's his name? Corbin now. This is the new feud. Really don't know opinion. Who cares?
It's not new. It's what they've been building to for since Riddle came in. But this whole feud in terms of, oh, nobody wants you here and all that. It's so fucking lazy. It's just fucking Bruce in terms of, oh, I read this on the internet. So maybe everybody read it on the internet. But it's like he did a whole thing hammering Meltzer and how such a low percentage of people understand what's going on the internet. So why didn't you write this story from scratch and from a casual perspective in terms of writing it and saying, oh, everybody, Matt Riddle rubs people up the wrong way because, but it's not because of anything we've seen. It's because it's on the internet that he says things in interviews and rubs people up the wrong way in terms of his backstage demeanor, which we got no taste of at all. We actually got the opposite, where he's supposed to be this fucking California surfer dude who gets on with everybody.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why everybody would dislike him and not want him to be here. It's not like he fucking came in from WCW.
Yeah, it is odd. And I mean, who the hell knows backstage if he carries the I'm entitled, you know, aura. But
why are you loosely telling the story on TV, like, so without saying anything as to why he gets wound up? Like, they never do or say anything. It's in terms of, like, this week where I knew that it was going to be Drew and Orton, and sometimes, you know, I shoot some ideas across to Drew for it. And I was thinking this week is like, they're not going to use any of this shit. Like, I always have these ideas in terms of like to make things different and unique, but they've already started with Orton going out to the ring and just saying he wants a title match, and that was it. So coming back from that in terms of making it different from that point is difficult. I mean, I had one idea. Have you ever seen the and I said this to Drew and he liked it, but getting on TV is going to be another thing. So you've seen the Star Wars episode 4, where Leia comes out of the little thing that she shows Obi-Wan, can I help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Sure.
Right. So I had this idea, right, which, seeing as they're doing eye for an eye and stuff, that Drew's like backstage and he's like zips up his bag, but as he's about to put his belt in his bag, he can smell the bag, right? Mm-hmm. Like he goes and sniffs the bag and he gets really angry and throws it against the wall. You don't have to say what happened to the bag, but insider fans will know. That's the kind of stuff I think people will understand. And even if you're not an insider, you might be able to work it out.
And it's got to have, like, you got to have a cut to Orton, like with a fucking smirk on his face or something.
Well, that's the thing. I was going to have Drew come out to the ring and ruin a match between two guys and call him out. And say, Randy Orton, do you think this is funny and whatever, blah blah blah. And then I wanted him to play an interview from inside the ropes, and I even picked out the minutes. It's like between like 1:38 and 1:45, so just 7 seconds. You know what? Let me play it for you.
Take it up.
I was even thinking, like, if Drew is in the back with his bag, just putting stuff in his bag, and then walks away and the bag's by itself, and then you see Orton walk in and like watch Drew walk away and then kind of look at the bag, and then it fades away, and then the next time have him sniff the bag later, because then you'll know, okay, Orton was there, this is the shit bag thing. That's a great thing.
All right, well, so listen, I will just play this 7 seconds. So when Drew's out there going, Randy, come to the ring. Randy, come to the ring. Sure. All you hear, all that comes up, they put this video up and they keep repeating this exact 7 seconds.
So, Lashley, we all deserve. And regarding SummerSlam, I think Orton is the one that has to happen. You know, right now, we're in a situation where we're building a lot of.
So, just that bit where he goes, when we're looking at SummerSlam, I think Orton needs to happen. And then it rewinds back. I think Orton needs to happen. When we're looking at SummerSlam, I think Orton needs to happen. And they're playing it all through the speakers, and Drew's just going fucking nuts because he's hearing it. Then Randy pops up onto the screen and says, you think Orton needs to happen? Be careful what you wish for, because now you've got Randy Orton. And then he just continues to fuck his head for weeks, mm-hmm. like with the whole thing. I didn't want him to touch. I wanted him to like do that. Like, that was very much like, you asked for me. You asked to face me. You went on an interview. They pull up the interview, which the WWE guys do all these things. Sure. And he uses it. Goes, I heard this, so you want me. I called you out. And he keeps playing it. When Drew's out there having a match, all of a sudden, like, you know, he's about to hit the Claymore, and then in the speakers you hear, at SummerSlam, I think Orton would be the one. At SummerSlam, I think Orton would be the one. So it drives him fucking insane. And then I even want to do a bit in between where they pull in Jinder for a backstage thing in a studio, say, oh, how are you doing? You know, just have an update with your injury. Mm-hmm. You're a guy, obviously, we want to talk to you about two guys that you know better than anybody. One's your best friend, and one's a guy you beat for the title. And then, obviously, Jinder says something like, oh, but I think Drew's a different level right now. I think Drew. And then Orton comes into the studio and beats him up, and then looks into the camera and goes, this is what you wanted, Drew. You wanted me. Like, and then that just, and we can easily do 3 weeks.
Oh, that'd be great.
Where Orton's like basically shoving it up his ass to say, you wanted me. You asked for me. And then it's constantly for 3 weeks, it's just stuff that gets inside like Drew's head. But they'll never do it. Like, they'll never ever do it. All they'll do is have them go out and do face-to-face and contract signings, and 100% they won't do it.
Yeah, that's a fucking good story. That is. It's and you sent this to him?
Sent him the audio, and I said to him, like, this is my, I said, have you seen Star Wars? He goes, I'm not a big fan, but I know the clip. And I pulled up the Leia clip, and then I pulled up the clip of him saying, I said, this is your Leia thing. Like this, it comes back to bite you in the ass, because he keeps playing it and during your matches, and when you're calling him out to the ring after he shits in your bag, like, you go into the ring and ask him, and instead what he does is he plays this clip instead, and he says, you asked for me, now you're getting what you asked for. Like, you're getting...
What was his opinion?
He said he really liked it. He said, like, he goes, I need to do something now. He goes, we need to do something that is different to everything that we've done. He goes, we need to go attitude. Sometimes now he always, like, says to me, he goes, what do you think, what do Russo think we can do? It's like, I sit on a show with this guy, and I often get tweets about how my ideas are better than Russo's. Now, I'm not saying that my ideas are better than Russo's. I'm saying that, and I'm also not saying that I could go and write a TV show better than Russo, because I just think Russo would be able to obviously storyboard it a lot better in terms of knowing how he would write an entire show for character and what we would need to do, all the quarter hours and all that. I think that's a skill that Russo kind of picked up in terms of spiking shit on all the quarter hours. And I think he probably picked it up of Howard, because he's as big a fan as you are. Mm-hmm. And he told me. So he was aware of the Howard comment, where Howard would say he wouldn't make it about his guests, he'd make it about him. And if his guests were doing something boring on the 14-minute mark, then he would immediately interrupt him to spike and say some shit so that people tuned in after the 15-minute mark, after they went to the ad break or whatever. And Russo wrote his TV that way. So in terms of all that layout and stuff, like, that would obviously be something that I've not got any experience in. But when it comes to, like, generally having an idea, and any instance where I've had an idea and Russo's tried to tidy it up, for instance, this one, I don't think that I would necessarily go with what he says. And maybe it's just a case of me being able to specifically write better for a certain group of people, or specifically Drew or other people. But I don't know. I don't think I would make any specific changes to it all. And this isn't going to be the greatest angle or thing that we've seen for years, but it will definitely be the best thing from 2020. And that's such a low bar, though. It's such a low bar. Like, there's nothing that's going on. The only good story that they're telling is Bailey and Sasha. And in my opinion, it looks like it's being done week to week. It doesn't even look like there's a real plan in place, because I tell you, when they started this, they didn't turn around and go, okay, so we're going to book a real long story here. We're going to, like, have Bailey, have Sasha help Bailey for the belt. And when it looks like we're going to tease some friction, then they're going to win the tag team titles, and that's going to piece them together. And then they're going to have all the belts. Like, there's no way they storyboarded this fucking plan.
No.
For these two at the beginning. They're not.
They never do anymore. Back in the day, maybe.
It's week to week, and there's a lot of indicators in there that it's week to week. But somehow, in a time where the bar is so ridiculously low, that you just take it and you just say, okay, this is the best thing on TV. And unfortunately, like, since Drew became champion, even in this low window that we're in, he has never had the best thing on TV. In some weeks he has, and even that week, the week he did that thing with Heath, that was the best thing on TV, and that was done wrong.
Yeah.
That was done incorrectly, but you still remembered it. And then occasionally he's popped in with his contract signing with Rollins, where he turned around and said, you're completely full of shit, was the best thing of that week on TV. So sporadically he's had his moments during his time, but his title reign has not been the best thing on TV at any point, but it's also not the worst. And then moving on to the other subjects as well, in terms of getting your opinion on it, because I could probably find out what's going to happen, but I won't say it on the show. Do you think they could switch the belt here? Would you do it?
Oh, I think it's 100% getting switched. I don't really. I think they're trying to. I think they're trying to do what everybody kind of is suggesting about get rid of the belt because of the ratings, like it's him. But also, Orton's so hot right now that he'd be better to hold it. And also, when you switch it back, make sure there's an audience. Like, I mean, Orton could hold this until Max Mania.
Hmm.
And depending if we get a fucking Mania.
Well, Orton could be wanting to do this with Orton could be setting this up to do this with Edge. First and foremost.
Yeah, that's true. Like we said, what, at Rumble? But that means then he's got to get past him. Which I don't think they're going to give Edge the fucking title. So, I mean, he can't. He's not like he's doing multiple shows.
But he can have the belt between Rumble and Mania, where you only need to pop in a few times.
Yeah. And then, hell, it could end up triple threat at Mania too, which I'm fine with. One last thing before we go and wrap it up and have a nice tight show for everybody. Look at this, Billy. Look at what we've done this week. Last thing is, what?
Still too long. It's already like 3 minutes longer than I want it to be, but it's fine. Mm-hmm. We'll work on it.
Well, let me know those kind of things. I'll make sure it really gets done.
It's not like I want it tight because I don't have stuff to say. I just want to have like a unique selling point in terms of saying this is a real like easy fucking listen to on the way to work thing. Mm-hmm. Like you can actually get this done. Like it's not going to be one of those where you need to finish it. This is like, I want a one workout podcast, as in, you know,
sure.
I get it done in the gym. I listen. I start in the gym and I finish it in the gym. And like, I even have time to listen to some music to like get me through the last, you know, 10 minutes in the gym where you want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Like that kind of thing, like one car journey, one trip to the gym, that, or one walk, that kind of shit.
Well, well, let's give them their last lift right now. And this is the bar fight.
The bar fight was the best thing of the week. Just because I like the fucking... I watched it with Austin and I enjoyed it. Then I watched it again yesterday. And I just think that like it feels less produced. Obviously, there were cutaways and all that kind of shit. But it didn't seem like anybody was like, okay, so Jeff, you say this. And Sheamus, you say this. I don't think Sheamus was fucking scripted at all. This seemed like pure sarcastic Sheamus. And I think just in terms of the action is the action. And mm-hmm. It's always going to be this sort of hardcore-y shit in the bar. And I like the bar as well in terms of like the place that they picked.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a kind of place that Sheamus would hang out about. I think just in terms of all of this... this is how unpicky I am. The action doesn't need to be like amazing where like someone had their eye taken out or someone got like glassed and their face was mm-hmm. all blood. Like it didn't need blood, and it didn't need like some ridiculous... And I know that Swanton was done onto a mattress or some shit. Like,
yeah, he would have broke his fucking tailbone.
And I'm not picking and choosing. All I'm looking at is for stuff for continuity and for stuff to make sense. And that was a place where Sheamus would hang out. There was the right place to do the bar fight. They had the right jokes. It had the right conversation between the two. It felt real. And and at that point, after everything's been done right, you even like accept the fact that he turned into Willow.
I had only one problem.
Right, but the things you accept it because I mean this is not, I mean that's the thing. You had Undertaker resurrect in the Boneyard, like
that was my problem in that one. The whole he shows up.
It's like you have to let these things like go for these matches because they're obviously outside of the box. Outside of the usual wrestling bubble and outside of the box anyways. So you kind of just let that pass because you're entertained. And I was like really cool with the fact that like there was 20 minutes left on SmackDown, and that's how, and they actually filled it out without doing just the whole repeat this barrel mm-hmm. and this cup and this fucking mop or whatever you can find in a bar. They actually started with the whole six, seven minutes of like talking at the start where he was like drinking at the bar.
Yeah,
like,
I like that.
Have a drink before we start. And even just like small things like how Sheamus was like dressed and shit. I just think that it was fucking
Sheamus with his Irish fucking vagabond fucking outfit with his his bowling soup hat, his fucking hat.
And in between they cut the action up too in terms of like Sheamus when he had the hat over his face and he went and had the pint as Guinness and the fact that he even had Guinness, like it seemed like honestly these guys sort of were booked into this corner and I think they did their own thing and you could tell when something's better, like you can tell that the talent have given a shit about making sure that they don't get made to look dumb. So that was my take on it.
Yeah, I thought it was very good as well. So that is how we will end your wrestling review for
you
the
can
week.
You could say more than that. I'm not that much of a reference.
No, I mean that was it. I said I thought everything was good except for the one thing of his face being painted after, where I was like, okay, and then like, he's calm and his eyes go back to normal.
But you had the same take in terms of you appreciated the chit chat and
everything. I did. It was everything was good, and I was surprised. I was like, "Oh, this is good," and that's why after the show was done, I had my same opinion where I went. I always say it. I go, SmackDown's a better show. I just go. I don't even know why it's fucking better. I don't know if it's the people. I don't know if it's the vibe on the night that it's on. It just has a better feel. The digestion of it is better because it's a quicker show. And I just feel like almost each segment had purpose, where I don't feel that in Raw. I don't feel it at all in Raw, but I do feel it in SmackDown. And like I said, it's got to be because it's 2 hours. You don't need to have filler. You could have every single thing in 2 hours mean something. So... And then I was disgusted by Mandy making out with fucking Otis. I would love to know, like, in real life, if she tells friends, like, oh, fuck, I have to fucking do this, like, grossed out, while Otis is jerking off in his fucking hotel after he gets to make out. He has to be.
I would be turning around and saying, like, look, we need to make this as real as possible. Like, we have to, I want to fully commit to this story, and we have to be, like, you have to make sure that we're staying in hotels together.
In case someone breaks in, we have to be in the bed. And and this isn't Hollywood where they fuck what they bra on. You have to take that off. And I want to see those Igor eye tits of yours.
I think if you're like anybody but Otis, I think if it's anybody realistic that was put into the storyline where, you know, she's a manager of somebody or you know,
she's committed. She fully goes for it. That's for sure.
I mean, you'd be trying to fuck her like 100%. If this was Ziggler was put into this, if she actually did turn heel and she was with Ziggler and she had to be his manager or whatever, there's no way. There's no man that wouldn't be trying to fuck her, even if he had someone at home.
I can't imagine they wouldn't be trying that.
No, of course you try.
That's insane. Yeah.
All right, let's all finish up with our winners of the week.
Well, I'm going to take my friend, the WWE champion.
I love that man.
We have a special love for each other. You know, he called me from Raw.
Not from his car, but from Raw.
He called me after he had his ass kicked by Brock Lesnar. He gave me a call. So there's a special bond between me and that man. I don't care what you say. Fucking ridiculous. And I've proven again that he has a Google fucking alert, old Derek Mantilla. He has a Google alert when you tweet his name, because I had a completely anonymous fucking Twitter that I never fucking did anything but one post, and I typed his name with his fucking picture, and bang, that account was fucking blocked. So I'm like, wow, it's so easy. It's so easy.
Oh, it's easy.
He can't fucking take it, and he wants to pretend that's not true. So he'll let things go for a while, and then he'll lose his mind because he constantly sees me zooming into his fucking bald head or fucking his teeth. You know? And that's the picture I post. So that's all. You could find all my nonsense. You go to @LingusMafia and patreon.com/LingusMafia. As well as my free show that's always out on Thursdays for free people. But this week, if you want to listen, Billy, did you listen to my show? That was another thing. I was going to slap you the fuck around because I know, I'll bet anything, you did not listen to my SummerSlam special.
I'm going to listen to it.
Oh, I'm going to just kill you for that. I'm like,
you didn't tell me to listen to it.
I sent it on. Well, immediately. It's been a fucking week. Jesus Christ.
Wait, are we already up to like 92 or something now?
Whatever. Since Wednesday, however many that is. So it's almost seven. Every day, a new SummerSlam. But on the free one, I only have SummerSlam 88. If people want to hear every single one, they got to go to my Patreon. But I give everyone a taste. This is what they're like. Here's the reviews. If you go to the links, but hell, I have it on the Dirty Sheets actually too. So they could see it on this feed, to tell you the truth, if they just go one before, which I'm sure these people probably already have heard. So I have them all every single day until this year. And oh man, it's getting hard to fucking watch, dude. I'm in 2015, 16, something like that. And I'm like, oh, they just said, oh, welcome to the 4-hour spectacular of SummerSlam. And I wanted to put a gun in my mouth. I'm like, oh, I gotta watch this for four fucking hours.
But I will say one thing. Mm-hmm. SummerSlam actually, like, is from over the last few, bearing in mind I went to all of them nearly, that seems to be exempt from being bad, even though it's like 4 hours. The pacing of 2018 and the pacing of 17 is really good. Like, in terms of, they do the right things that are right. Like, they use the demon matches mm-hmm. in the right place, where they like these 3-minute squashes in between these like long matches. And in the main event at 2017, I have it as like my best SummerSlam match ever.
What's the main event?
That's that 4-way with Brock wins, where they don't slow it down at all.
Okay, good. I'll get there.
Then the night they made like Braun Strowman, where he put Brock through 3 tables in a row.
You know, here I told Fausti, I said, you know, back in the day, I could tell you how every title changed hands and the maneuver, as Vince would say, that actually won the belt, right? And as I've gotten older, it changes too much now, I think. But at the same time, I'm watching these SummerSlams, and I have not the older ones, because now I'm like more towards recent, and I have completely forgotten what the fuck happens. So it's like watching a new fucking show. I watched it was Punk and Cena for the Undisputed title, and they both had time. And I go, all right, I remember that it's Punk that wins, and I remember thought I had no fucking idea. I thought Triple H beat the shit out of Punk afterwards. I'm waiting for him to turn on him.
You beat the shit out of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're confused. Or 2 years later.
But I don't even think I'm confused, because I remember that for sure. But I was like, oh, he's going to fucking hit Punk. He's going to hit Punk. And I'm like, I am that. And he leaves. And I'm like, okay. And then Nash comes in, which I completely forgot. I remember it when it happens. And then fucking Del Rio. And I'm like, holy fuck, this is all brand new to me. Holy Jesus. So, you know, and then I got up to, surprisingly, this last week, a match that I was bored in the beginning, and it's Brock and Punk, and it's No Holds Barred. And that match is so fucking good. That's what I want you for today. Go watch that match again.
Seen that match.
Oh, of course you've seen that match. This is fucking amazing, this match. I was like, oh my God, I forgot how fucking great, because I was bored in the beginning because it was just Punk getting thrown around. It turned so fucking good that, like, afterwards during the analyst table, Shawn Michaels is like, I just want to say Punk and Brock, thank you. It was so fucking good. So that's what I'm busy watching. So it's fun to find new stuff, but it's on this Dirty Sheets of the SummerSlam 88.
Brian and Cena goes after that. Yeah, that's the thing. I get fuzzy at. There's a fuzzy period with SummerSlam. Like there's a few SummerSlams that ain't that good, like 2003 and 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't that great, because I don't really remember them. Like 2006 is like a quite a stacked card, like where you got Hogan and Orton like going, you know, mm-hmm. really third match. But it's not. It doesn't actually like land. And I think 2007 is not good either. There's a few in the 2000s where it starts to like go by the wayside. But in general, even as of late, even when they got up to 4 hours, the SummerSlams have been good. I think 2015 may be the worst. But 2016 is definitely good, and 17 as well.
Yeah, you had Nexus. That was the brutal one.
Yeah, that's the thing. As I said, like, through the 2000s, it starts to get a bit rough. I mean, the things where we did our worst ever years, there have been, like, years of wrestling that have been really bad. But I just think now, when we're still at the no crowd thing, like, this year is just fucking...
Yeah.
It will never get worse.
Yeah.
And I'm now... It's amazing, like, we reached the point where we're here now. We are in August. Well, we will be next week. And all the nightmare shit that we were going, oh my God, can you imagine, like, they're still in this situation at fucking SummerSlam, and it's like, can you imagine the NFL doesn't have any fans? Well, it's all gonna fucking happen.
Yeah,
like, the MLB still fucking suspended games yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going backwards here, like, and now we're like, I see the next bold statement's gonna be like, oh, can you imagine this continues to next year and, like, there's no one at the Rumble? Well, this thing's a fucking nightmare. So we might not have
Mania next year, I don't think, still.
I would now be looking right now in terms of whether you have to or you don't, whether the US opens up or not. It's not going to hurt you to start saying, hey, the pay-per-views next year, and we're giving them to these countries.
Yeah.
Like, and if you open up, you open up. That's fine. You don't need to cancel them. You just need to actually deliver on giving these countries pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and if Mania is in Saudi, so what? Like, That's it. It's in Saudi.
Mania fucking 9 a.m.
Or Rumble's in Saudi, and Mania's in England. Like, now, when everyone's like, they're always going, oh, you know, one day WrestleMania is going to be in the UK, and I'm always like, no, it fucking isn't, because I know it's not. But, like, they've been spouting that bullshit for so long, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it was ever going to happen, if it was actually ever going to happen, if I, you know, and I've been saying it's not, but if it actually is. Now you would do it. You would announce it right now, and you would say, like, "Oh, WrestleMania is going to be happening at Wembley Stadium because the UK's opening up to crowd, opening up their sports venues in October, which we are."
Oh my God, you motherfuckers! Because we're the fucking Polacks of the world now.
Hey, that's the thing. I tell you what, like, these fucking NFL teams, they'd be desperate for the London game now, because at least
when they
come here in November, people will be here. So,
oh my God.
It should be the fucking Super Bowl. The Super Bowl should be at Wembley Stadium.
That's true. It really should be.
There'll be 90,000 people there. It'll be the biggest London game ever. And that's the thing. NFL have fucking insulted us with these fucking borderline playoff teams for like 10 years. Like, we've been insulted. WWE even have insulted us too. Like, stop insulting us. Like, give us the Super Bowl and WrestleMania, because we can actually host it. We're not a third world country. We're not like... We're not murdering people like the Saudis. Like, we could actually host it properly. It would look no different
to have
these two events here. So
hell, they could have it in fucking Canada too, but Canada won't let us go there. See, all the wrestling shows should be in fucking Canada. It's right there. It'd be Bizarro World. It's perfect.
On the Blue Jays, like, stranded in America, like, just playing all the road games.
Yeah, they won't let them. They won't let them come into Canada. They won't let America come to Canada.
But still fucking winning, because I had the Nationals yesterday.
I couldn't tell you who fucking won anything. I'm watching my horrible Mets.
Won yesterday.
Yeah, they did. I watched that. I was like, okay, my Alonso got a home run finally. Where's your Twitter and everything, Billy?
Oh, okay, yeah. Twitter is at DirtySheets.com. Website is thedirtysheets.com. I've not been on that too much as of late. I need to get to be mainly soccer stuff, but I'll put some wrestling stuff up today. And I'm on Russo's Patreon as well. You can catch me on the YouTube channel on Wednesdays for free, but then the show is over at Russo's brand. RussoBrand.com, Patreon.com /TWC. It's so complicated.
/ Bill Batty.
Oh, no, hold on. It's two different websites. So it's russosbrand.com I'm on, and I'm also at patreon.com/RussoTWC. The show is called Truth With Consequences, I think is the one I'm on. No, that's his show. I'm not on that show. Mine's called the Nitty Gritty Dirt Show.
Holy fucking Christ. Well, good luck finding Billy. You have a better chance of flying to England to find him, to hear him, than you do on Russo's. That's it. We will be here next week. I'm Kev Manning. He's Bill Batty. We're out of time.